If a proposal by the Reserve Bank of India goes through, then corporate entities in our country may be allowed to own banks. Is this a good idea? Now, ratings agencies and some of India's foremost economists and former RBI governors have said that this is a disastrous idea and throws caution to the wind. The former finance minister, Peter Dhamrum, has said the government is pandering to the ambitions of business houses. There are others, however, who say that bank promoters will be ring-fenced and that these additional banking services are crucial given the under-penetration of financial services in India, that this move will create a supply-side push. Well, joining us now to look at this, Amitabh Dubey, political analyst and consultant with the Congress, Nasser Salim of Flexi Capital, Sunil Alag joins us as well. Also, Mr. R. Gandhi, the former RBI deputy governor. Mr. Gandhi, there have been so many people who have hit out very strongly against this proposal, saying that this is nothing more than an attempt to promote certain business leaders from gaining access to the banking sector, which would be disastrous given corporate governance in India. How would you respond?
First of all, we need to understand the need for continuous additional capital in large magnitude that the banking system will be needing in India. The going forward, that is going to be a regular requirement, because it is an international consensus that more and more of capital will be the real bulwark against the stability and the security of a bank. So that's where we have to be constantly looking around for sources which can support additional capital needs for the banks. So that way, so far, we have allowed very cautiously only the financial institutions and the banks and others who have strongly regulated. Those are the type of entities which we have permitted to own banks. And that going forward, we need to be opening up, because we do need, as I said, that continuous flow of credit. Continuous flow of capital to banks. That would mean that entities with the deep pockets will have to be considered for promoting a bank or owning a bank.
All right. Mr. Amitabh, would you like to respond to that? The point being that we need more access to credit and capital in this country. This is one way of doing it.
Yeah, see, that's absolutely right. The issue is that there are many different ways that we can do this. There are many different strategies we can adopt to expand the banking system and increase the number of banks in the country. Most countries in the world are today debating how to control monopoly power in the US, in other countries, Google and other very large companies. In India, unfortunately, government policy is going the other way. We're trying to strengthen monopoly power. And what's important to remember, Vishnu, is that the context in India. This is a country where one company, Adani, just took over six of six airports that were publicly, they were government-owned previously, and took over Mumbai and Navi Mumbai Airport 1 month after the Enforcement Directorate launched raids on the previous owner. Now, this is the institutional context that we are living in. So even though, in principle, the report of the RBI committee said that they would put in safeguards, the political economy of this country is absolutely not conducive, and this is a bit of a fig leaf. And I just want to read out one line from that very RBI report, which says that all of the experts except one that they consulted were of the opinion that large corporate houses should not be allowed to promote a bank. This is in the report, and yet the finding of the report is that they want to allow these to come in. So I think there's a lot of pressure on them, and we need to be very cautious.
All right, just a point of clarification. You mentioned the Adanis and the airports. As I understand it, in Kerala, they've been legally cleared by the courts to actually go ahead with that. So there is a system of checks and balances over there. But be that as
The raids before they were given...
Sure. So you raised the larger issue. All right. Fair enough. Nasser Salim, Raghuram Rajan and Viral Acharya have said, and let me quote a little bit from what they have.
Sure.
The history of such connected lending is invariably disastrous. How can the bank make good loans when it is owned by the borrower? It sounds pretty basic. Is there any answer to this?
You see, Vishnu, I'll tell you, the biggest challenge today between the borrower and the one who's lending, the lender, is basically a quid pro quo situation, which is what one needs to ideally kind of avoid. And I must tell you something, Vishnu, the very fact that, and I'll take you back to history, 1997, 98, we had the major Asian crisis, right, which was basically, which you know, ought to be taught us a very cautionary tale. In Indonesia, for example, unchecked commingling of financial, non-financial activities within a corporate group pushed up the cost of bank rescue to 40% of 1998 GDP of Indonesia.
Okay.
Now, that is something, for example, history tells us that repeatedly one needs to be very careful and cautious when you're looking at, you know, giving money to the hands of large capital houses. At the same time, also to ensure that you do not have issues such as those which we've just come out of, for example, frankly. We saw exactly what happened in 2018. We've had a credit crisis in the economy. 2018, we had the IL-FS group, which, frankly, was supposed to be funding
yes.
a lot of infrastructure projects, I must tell you, Vishnu, but misallocation of credit got underway. And that is something which we got hit really hard.
Okay.
The other quick point that I would want to make is that, you see, you saw what happened in the last
18
months.
With Yes Bank being another example.
With Yes Bank, PMC, now the recent with Lakshmi Vilas Bank.
Yes.
So we've seen these instances where the RBI has to step in and get them, you know, either in terms of mergers and acquisitions or kind of get into their board to take over charge and control. Now, these are the situations we need to be very, very careful of.
Look, got it.
I'm being a banker. I can tell you one thing, Vishnu. Credit is required. Credit offtake has been pretty weak. Transmission of loans has not happened in the economy in the last few years. But we've also had a very serious issue of NPA crisis, Vishnu.
Right.
And that is something
which cannot be ignored. That does, in fact... Now, sir, bring me to my next question to Mr. Gandhi. Sir, again, this is what Viral Acharya said. Even an independent, committed regulator with all the information in the world finds it difficult to be in every nook and corner of the financial system to stop poor lending. Information on loan performance is rarely timely or accurate. Yes Bank managed to conceal its weak exposures for considerable periods. Now, this is our India. This is a reality. In a situation like this, why would we want to change things?
Actually, if you look at the committee's recommendation, they are clearly telling that certain statutory safeguards and ring fencing is required. And until those kind of legal provisions are in place, corporate houses should not be allowed to open. That's why they have put it in a positive sense that the business houses can own a bank provided the appropriate legal arrangements have also been brought on. So it is subject to that condition. So there are ways in which, obviously, all of us have to sit together and find an answer for that. How do we statutorily ring-fence the bank's operations and business decisions being ring-fenced from the owners? The separation of ownership vis-a-vis the control of the operations of the bank. That if we bring in appropriate legal structure, then it will be possible to allow the business houses to own a bank. That's a recommendation. That is a work in process. In my opinion, it will take easily 2 to 3 years to get a full consensus on such legal provisions to
okay.
be made.
Sunil Alag also joins us. Mr. Alag, the S&P Global has also been fairly critical about this proposal. They say, and I quote, "The risk of contagion from corporate defaults to the financial sector increases significantly if this were to take place." And they also say RBI will face challenges in supervising non-financial sector entities, and supervisory resources could be further strained at a time when the health of India's financial sector is weak. The point being, in a situation like this, why are we getting into something where corporate governance, which in so many cases in India is weak, would be further challenged?
Look, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't mean that every corporate house is going to now start creating a bank. That's the assumption that is being made by Rajan and everybody else, is that, look, don't open it out. But the RBI, to get a bank going, even if there's a corporate house when they've opened up, it has to go through, as Mr. Gandhi has said, a whole lot of stuff before they get permission. Look, if you take a look at Indus Bank, it's owned by the Hindujas, but look at the way it's operated. It's fine. Do they give loans to Hindujas? No, they don't. Take a look at Kotak Mahindra Bank. Do they give loans to Mahindra? Do Kotaks take away all the money? No. Look, There have been enough examples of people being arrested, people being sent to jail. No corporate house, according to me, will want to risk that particular thing coming on, because the impact will be on the entire corporate house. So what is the fear? I haven't understood the fear as yet that, look, when they are doing this, when Shashikanta Das has said, okay, he's going to allow it, doesn't...
Okay. Oh, we've lost that signal. We'll come back to him in a moment. That should clear up. Mr. Gandhi, you want to take this point, the larger issue, the larger concern at one level, Sunil Alagh, of course, saying that this is something which will be done with checks and balances. But that said, the history of connected lending has been disastrous. That's what Raghuram Rajan has said. How can the bank make good loans when it is owned by the borrower? Even an independent committed regulator with all the information in the world finds it difficult to be overseeing everything. That there is a history of connected lending being problematic. Do we have so much faith in our company?
That's where we have to look at the legal provisions that is likely to come. If it is prohibited, then obviously it will be a good measure. Or appropriate legal provisions in terms of disclosure relating to connected lending and limits placed on that and appropriate auditing mechanism. Those kind of things can help limit that kind of fear that we may have.
Amitabh, does that answer any of the points?
Alone will be insufficient. Sure. It will have to be statutory arrangement.
A statutory arrangement needs to be in place. Two specific examples were stated over there, IndusInd Bank and Kotak Mahindra, and the fact that they've ring-fenced their owners. If this was done in the cases of other entities, then why should this system not be more robust?
Vishnu, the history of banking supervision, as Mr. Gandhi knows and many people know, is of statutory provisions being found to be either inadequate or bypassed. And we're talking about countries like the United States during the credit crisis. We're talking about Japan, where the banking crisis, partly because of connected lending, caused a 10-year lost decade. So, especially in a country like India, where the institutional context is so much weaker, and then you combine that with the extreme power and influence of some of the larger business groups in the political system. I think you can pass all the laws you want, but when push comes to shove, I think it'd be very difficult for any government institution, any political party, to really put the lens on them and make sure that these malpractices don't happen that have happened in countries with far stronger institutions.
Mr. Alagh, would professionalizing governance in our existing banks, letting the broader public own, for example, larger stakes, in other words, expanding the reach and portfolio of existing banks, be a way around changing things as dramatically as is being proposed?
Look, the past, I agree with what everybody's talking about the past. Look, as far as most big houses are concerned, if they get permission, they have to worry about their image. It's not just the bank. They are obviously in a large number of areas like Tata's or Mahindra's or Reliance or anyone else, that they know if their bank fails, their whole company collapses. Why are we assuming that people will want to put money into an owner-driven bank if they think there's a...
All right, again, we seem to have lost that line over there. Let me go back to Mr. Salim. Is again, just that same point, is there any way of getting around the proposals which have now been suggested by actually expanding the scope of operations of existing banks?
No, Vishnu, I think there are definitely far less risky options available to the RBI. And I must tell you, for instance, the RBI can stop insisting that bank licensees, Vishnu, who typically come from another corner of the financing industry, must in the long term dilute their stakes to about 15%. I mean, the working group wants the ceiling on a controlling stake raised to 26%. But here's the point. The Monetary Authority seeks a minimum 40% shareholding for a bank's controlling in the first 5 years. That could easily, keep it at that level if you want the license for 15 years, enjoy a greater share of the spoils of sensible risk-taking. If you do that, right, then, and if you misbehave, if you give credit against kickbacks, for example, evergreen bad loans, or even run a competing business on the side, we'll restrict your voting rights to 5%, replace your board, or even, get into by announcing our M&A on the bank. So I think some of those are more risky options which can be given by the RBI.
And I think, you know, obviously, Vishnu, somewhere down there, you have to understand that, you know, for over-leveraged groups, I think that's where the challenge is. I think everyone today on the panel, everyone is agreeing broadly that, you know, if there are well-backed institutions which have a certain lineage to show that, you know, they have not been doing any of the things that I just mentioned to you a few seconds back, I think over-leveraged groups, you know, bank licenses are a ticket to that big fall, right. You know, to fail nirvana. I think, I mean, that is something which is should be the essence of this entire policy.
Broadly. All right. You know, I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. There's no doubt that we are completely underrepresented by in the banking sector across the country. The question is, are these proposals too radical given the history of corporate governance, or will safeguards which are proposed be genuine in protecting millions of investors in this country? I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. The former Finance Minister, P. Chidambaram, has also spoken out very strongly against this proposal. Let's listen in to what he said.
All three principles will be thrown out of the window if corporates and business houses are allowed to set up banks. It is shocking that such an idea should have been presented to the people as though it has the imprimatur of experts and the endorsement of the RBI. Just as the RBI was the cat's paw of the government in the saga of demonetization, the RBI is being used by the government to push through its dangerous agenda. If the proposal goes through, it is no secret which politically connected business houses will get the first licenses and increase their monopolistic power. We call upon all the people of India and all political parties and all trade unions to join us in resolutely opposing the retrograde idea of allowing corporates and business houses to enter the banking sector and set up banks.